Part 3, Chapter 3, The Una Sancta. Perhaps you know the old legend of Buddha in which he gave his doctrine of wisdom to humanity and the impulse to a new spiritual revival. Having come to the end of this work and having already left the dwelling places of night, he saw that there were indeed millions of followers, but that a terrible and murderous fight developed between Brahmanism and Buddhism as a result of his appearance. The Brahmins, of old the protectors of the Vedas and the Upanishads, and so also of divine wisdom, were furious, and they fought against the growing Buddhism with all means. The pupils of Buddha and their descendants acquitted themselves as well, and so there was a very great suffering in the heart of the Elevated One. He who wanted to serve mankind and save all in unlimited love saw the battle which was fought concerning his name. He then decided to return. He came back into the shadows of the nature of death, 50 years after his passing away as Buddha, but now as Shankara, the Elevated One. Shankara is indeed a teacher recorded in history. So there is not merely a question of a legend, but also of a reality. Shankara taught the synthesis of all divine wisdom. He proved that the Vedas and the Upanishads and the teaching of Buddha were identical and pursued the same aim. He showed the universality of all doctrines of wisdom. And when he had accomplished his task, Shankara, who was Buddha, disappeared in a mysterious way. We have remembered this legend in connection with the Una Sancta, the Una Mystica, which has been manifested again in the magnetic body of the modern twofold spiritual school. It cannot be said of the modern spiritual school that it follows one sectarian and exclusive direction. No, this school, this magnetic body, is a true Shankara school, in which the synthesis of all universal wisdom is manifested, as Shankara with his partisans and elevated ones came after Buddha. So the Gnosis also came after the manifestation of Jesus the Lord to synthesize all wisdom teachings of the world history and to reveal them as a glorious unity. Taoism, Brahmanism, Buddhism, and Christianity, as doctrines and ways of deliverance, are fundamentally one in the Gnosis. Therefore, the Rosicross rises beyond the age-long metaphysical struggle, and it serves the Shankara of all times. Having become quiet and relieved of all emotional disturbances, the new attitude of life indicated by the Sermon on the Mount can be found. The fight we have to fight cannot place one opposite another, cannot separate us into parties and groups, cannot divide us by sympathies and antipathies, in judging and condemning, in criticism and revilement. He who is still fighting that useless fight cannot raise the sword against his own lower self, against the nature of death surrounding him, against the world and against the sin of evil. Only with reference to this fight Jesus the Lord spoke, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." Only when one is entirely engaged in driving a sword into one's own soul, there is no time and also no desire to hurt and to waylay others. When you are at work on yourselves in this way, and when you begin to see your own disorder, your needs and shortcomings, you will feel a great compassion for the others who still must learn to use the sword in the same way that you are doing. Only then you will receive the ability to help the other ones with the silent whisper of pity by the purification of your own experience. Then you realize by action the word of Christ. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The spiritual school will become a refuge for really tired ones, where they will meet your great love and willingness to sacrifice. In such a way, you will be a real servant of the eternal Shankara, who did not come to divide and to destroy, but to unite in the Una Sancta.